Morning, everyone. How are we all? You okay? Good, good. I'm coming off the back of illness, so if I have to make a quick dash to the toilet, you'll know why. No, honestly, it's passed. That's a good start, isn't it? Should we pray? Father, I thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, for the way that you change us, for the way that you keep changing us, for the way that you never give up on us. I thank you for the way this morning that you have intentions for us, you have plans for us. And I pray, Lord, as you gently whisper those things into our thoughts, into our minds, sometimes if you shout those things, that you would give us an ear and a mind to understand and to hear what you're saying, so that we can go away from here being changed. And I pray, Lord, as I speak, that you would help me not to get in your way, but to speak the things that you tell me to speak. Amen. So can I just re-emphasize what Jonathan was saying earlier? Hopefully a little slide should come up. But we are running a project on the farm, helping people out of homelessness. And one of the things we're really trying to do is help people with esteem. And we've applied for money from Tesco to help us start a community garden. We're calling it a community garden, and we hope that it'll be used by a much wider community of people than the ones that we're serving there at the moment. One of the things we really find is that a lot of people struggle with self-esteem, with feelings of self-worth. And there is something cathartic, something therapeutic about working with your hands in the countryside and seeing something grow. And so we would really love to be able to help people with that, and also if we can have conversations about Jesus who can bring genuine healing in that process, that'd be really great as well. So when you get to go to Tesco and buy your shopping, I suggest you go in about 20 times a day and buy chewing gum. You get a token every time and put it in the box that says Dairy House, then it'll go towards that project. But it's only available in Midsomer Norton and Keynsham. So don't go shopping in Shepton, whatever you do. That's a general rule for life anyway, isn't it? So a couple of weekends ago, we went up to London to celebrate Dave's 40th birthday. We had a really nice weekend. But we were having a conversation there about worldview, or Dave prompted a conversation. And he was talking about a guy called Abraham Kuyper. And we're going to have a look at him as a quote he made in a minute. But it really prompted me to think again about something that God has spoken to me over and over and over again in my life. And I don't think that's a bad thing. Sometimes God just knocks on your mind, doesn't he, and says, have you forgotten, you know? And it's this verse in Romans 12, verse 2. And it says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I expect any of you who've known me for a while or have heard me speak, I usually bring this old chestnut out, so no surprise again. Our conversation was based around this guy, Abraham Kuyper, and I didn't know it at the time, but I was doing some investigation work. He was a theologian back in the end of the 1900s. He was Dutch. Eventually, he became the Dutch Prime Minister. And he did a series of lectures at Princeton University in America. They invite a guest to come and speak every year and do a series called the Stone Lectures. And one of the quotes that he gave in this series of lectures was this: two life systems are wrestling with one another in mortal combat. This is the struggle in Europe. This is the struggle in America. And it's interesting, isn't it, that right the way through human history, especially since Jesus came along, it's maybe become more pronounced, there has been this mortal combat that's been going on, this struggle between two systems. Abraham Kuyper was of the belief that this he was in an age where they were totally rethinking the way society worked. They were examining every part of society, the structure of society. And his opinion was that if we introduced Jesus into every aspect of society, that society would be intrinsically better, that it would be more complete. The word he used was more brilliant. And I guess if we were honest, if we were completely honest, if we were to introduce Jesus into every area of our individual life, then we would be more brilliant too. I think as I get older, and I feel old this week, usually I feel 16 still, I'm quite athletic and live, you know. There's no laughter. I get to appreciate the beauty of what Jesus is able to do in the individual, because I begin to see more and more the brokenness of society and the way that when Jesus moves into something, he is able to transform. He's able to bring something which is totally astoundingly beautiful out of something which is dark. In my own life, I look at it and I see a lot of brokenness, but I also see beauty that comes from that when Jesus gets his hands on you. I think of it like I'm a farmer, so I always think of soil. I don't. I'm a very strange individual. But the best soil in the world is around volcanoes. And volcanoes, you get these extreme explosive events that are extremely destructive, but they produce something which produces abundant life afterwards. And hopefully the volcano won't explode again. But that's the way that Jesus works in us. Out of the explosiveness of life and its situations comes beauty, if we allow him to work in that way. But one of our problems is that our brains are essentially lazy. And this is what we were talking about. This is what Dave was telling us. And that we through our lives, build ourselves a worldview. It may be conditioned by the world that's around us, by the people that we come in contact with, by the circumstances that we're assailed by, and we all are. And we build a worldview, and our brain does everything it can to reaffirm our worldview all the way through our lives. I don't know if you're a big fan of podcasts. I haven't listened to a lot recently, but I used to listen to a lot of podcasts. And used to listen to a series and you think, oh, it's really good. I'm going to listen to something different today. And you trawl through it and find something that you're interested in. And within 10 or 20 seconds, you've made an opinion about that. And usually like, oh, that's heresy. I'm not listening to that again. Do you know what I mean? Our worldview is already formed. And actually, if we listen to something or see something that's outside that, our brain tries to make it fit to our worldview or says, no, that's a load of rubbish. That doesn't fit with the way I'm built, therefore it's wrong. And so what I'm going to ask you to do this morning is to challenge your mindset, is to challenge your worldview. Because this is essentially what this verse is about. Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you're able to test and approve what God's will is. So I want to look at one symptom of our world today and ask us to challenge that, if we might. And the thing that I'm looking at particularly is individualism, a symptom of our modern society. You see, the world sees humanity as essentially good and capable of solving all of his own problems. the goal in life is to be self-dependent, believing that you've got everything you need within you to be fulfilled and happy. That's what the world's telling you. I don't know how that makes you feel. That makes me feel absolutely furious. There's a rage inside of me about that. In opposition to that, we know that if you read the Bible, it says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It's true that when God created the world, God created man good, but man fell. And essentially, man is not good. We also know that it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good for man to struggle in this world by himself. I suppose the most extreme example of someone struggling along by themselves, and I went through a phase of reading books about the people who were captive. Do you remember Terry Waite and Brian Keenan and all those guys who were taken captive? And they would be placed in cells for quite a long time individually by themselves. And they would all say it's not good to be on your own. It's really not good to be by yourself with your own thoughts all the time. I think we're only sort of 30 seconds away from madness, any of us. For me, quite a few seconds less than that. But it's not good to be alone. You see, individualism, as the world tries to prescribe that we should be, is not a good way to live your life. And I'm going to just think about three different ways that we can challenge that. And I'm going to leave it for you to, you might all just be in your square box and say, no, I don't believe that. That's fair enough. Go away. But allow God to challenge you. Allow God to change your mind. I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying that everything I say this morning you've got to listen to and adhere to. I'm saying be challenged. Renew your mind. Think, dwell on the word of God, dwell on what Jesus says to you. So individualism goes against the interdependence that the Bible talks about a lot. If you go on and read on in that passage in Romans 12, it says in verse 5, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. It's really nice what Jonathan said when he stood up. I am part of this body. I grew up here, and I don't attend here anymore, but I'm still part of this body. And actually, the rest of the congregation where I am, they're also part of this body. You see, we pick and choose where we go, and maybe that's fine. We choose where we fit in, where we can serve, where we can give. But we're all part of one body. We all serve one another. We're all members of one another. The New Testament's full of these type of admonitions to be interdependent, to positively guard against becoming independent, to recognize ourselves as belonging to other people, as belonging to one another, as our gifts being there to serve other people, not to serve ourselves. The Bible's positive about it. Is positive about us having relationship. Jesus, in his ministry, didn't go around the world on his own. He went with a team of people. He served and they served him. One of my faults, or you might not see it as a fault. In fact, it's a family trait, really. I was talking to my cousin about it, and I recognise it in myself, my dad, my uncle, my cousin, is that we're all perfectionists, especially when it comes to our farming business. And if you come up at the moment and drive down our drive, on the left-hand side, I planted that field with a... I'm already given an excuse for my non-perfection. I planted the field, and the seed drill I used that day had a blockage in one of the seed lines. So it has a stripe that runs right the way across the field. And it does, it plays havoc with my brain. Every time I drive out there, I drive out there two or three times a day. You can't imagine it, what it does to a person's soul to see this kind of imperfection. But in the summer, it gets really busy. We're out harvesting. We're also planting as well. And we've invested significantly in some of the machinery so that it steers itself. And it is the best thing, because what you do is you create two points in the field, and then it creates a straight line, and the machine sets itself to work at perfect width the whole time. And to me, the perfectionist, this is the best thing that ever happened. But you can, so you see the way my brain works, can't you? But in the summer and in the autumn, it gets really busy, and it's too much work for Dad and I to do by ourselves. And we work with our neighbours as well, and it's even too much work for the four of us to do. So we call in people. We might have students or other people who come and work for us. And it's quite a stressful time of the year, because they don't work in the perfect way I work. You've got to understand how stressful it is for me. So your instinct is to say, I'm going to grab all of that work and do it all myself so that it's done in the way I want it to be done. Do any of you recognise this trait at all? But at the end of the day, if I did all the work myself, or if Dad and I did all the work ourselves, we'd be so busy and so stressed that our life would have no value. We would get home at the end of the day, our children would be annoyed because we would be frustrated, because we wouldn't get home at the end of the day. Suze would become very, very annoyed because I wasn't there. And you see, we have to recognise that we can't do things alone. And more than that, we have to encourage others to step into the same things as us. We have to give things up so that others are built up, so that others are strengthened, so that others have opportunity. Even if we know they're not going to do it the way we want it done. Well, that's a bit hardcore, isn't it? One thing I like about being part of the congregation where I am now is that one of the mantras of the Vineyard movement is everyone gets to play. Everyone gets to play. And I think that's the essence of the New Testament as well, is that everyone's got a gift and you get to use it. And I do like that. Do really like that. So individualism is really set against this concept of interdependence, which the Bible talks about us being part of something bigger, being part of one another, having something to offer and being offered something. But it also goes against compassion, because individualism at its heart says that you have everything inside of you that you need to get yourself out of problems and situations. Everyone should be able to deal with their own stuff. If you look deep enough, you should be able to find your own happiness and fulfillment. To me, Jesus' whole mission was the antithesis of that. And I've got a couple of verses written down, which Tony kindly read out in the prayers this morning. So it's just really good to read these two. It's in Luke 4. Verse 18 and 19, this was Jesus. When he went in the temple, he opened the scrolls up, and this is what he read about his coming and his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. See, the only person who ever lived a perfect, sinless life was not about himself. His life was about compassion for other people. It was about self-sacrifice. It was about restoration, about giving. It didn't lead him to a place of self-aggrandizement, but it led him to give his own life up so that others might be made complete. I think it's easier sometimes if we live in a part of the world where there is obvious poverty. If we were to live in India or parts of Africa and we saw the poverty there, then sometimes we would find it easier maybe to act. But I think the message that I've got this morning is that this society is really, really broken. It's really messed up. And I don't know if it's coming across, but if a society is based on individualism, that we all have everything we need to achieve whatever we want for happiness and joy, just imagine the amount of pain that people are in when they can't achieve that. You see, I'm of the opinion that hidden behind every door in this country is so much pain. Is so much brokenness. And maybe because it's not obvious, we're not actively pursuing changing that society. But we need to be active in changing our society. We need to act with compassion because people are broken. We have high levels of depression, of mental illness. We have people who are dropping out of society because they can't cope with the pressures of life. We have people who struggle with work. We have people who struggle to have relationship with other people because they feel so shamed and condemned by society. This society, this community that we live in is so broken, and yet we just don't see it. We don't see it in the, because it's not visible. It's an invisible poverty. It's pervasive, it's disgusting, it's horrible the way that this society is broken. It's horrible. And we don't see it. And I guess I've been challenged. I've been deeply challenged to my core. And I see guys who have had everything, struggling with the shame of not being able to get themselves out of the mess that they're in. And the joy of being able to say to them, it's all right. It's okay. It's all right to be broken. And I think this world needs to hear that it's okay to be broken. Because Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. See, the oppression in our society is huge, but there's freedom. But it's like the Alcoholics Anonymous thing, isn't it? The first step is confession. I always do it. Every meeting I go to and there's a round the table discussion and you have to introduce yourself, I always fall into, I'm Rob and I'm an alcoholic. Just, you like to throw it in there, don't you? But it's like that, you know? If we can recognise the brokenness of ourselves, we can recognise the beauty of what Jesus can bring. And if people see beauty in you that Jesus has done in the restoration of brokenness, what hope that offers to the world. What hope it offers to a broken society. it's amazing, you know, how if you give to other people as well, if you give, that God releases you from some of your own stuff. Often we think that we've just got nothing to give. That actually God needs to give me something before I've got something to give. It's a crazy, broken, strange world. It's a crazy, I'm going to ignore that bit now. It's a crazy, strange world, the kingdom of God, because it works backwards. God asks you to step out in obedience sometimes, and and on that path of obedience, he brings healing. He brings restoration. In Isaiah 58:10, it says, "If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday." It's a good passage, that. You read the whole thing. It's really great. The things we looked at is individualism against interdependence, individualism against compassion. The third thing is individualism against dependence. What we realise when we serve one another in any way is that we have so little. In and of ourselves, we don't have enough. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing to recognise that you don't have enough. When you get to the point of realising that, that's when God steps in and says, "Yeah, but I have." It's better that we become dependent on Jesus and use us in the places he leads us, rather than be dependent on ourselves, on our independent nature. It's better that we become dependent on Jesus. When you're helping people, when you're serving people, when you're looking after people, I don't know about you, but I constantly feel out of my depth. The personal struggle I have is that my brain doesn't work fast enough to give the advice that I think that I should be giving. I'm quite a slow processor, so if you come back 24 hours later, I've got some real gem of wisdom that I can give you, but you're thinking about something else 24 hours later, and it's like, darn. But that's great, you know. It's really good that my brain doesn't work that way, because I have to rely on Jesus. I have to go, "Jesus, I don't know what to say. Could you say something, please? Or could you give me something?" And I think we forget sometimes that all the resources of heaven are arrayed for us to use. That the fullness of God is in us, in the Holy Spirit. And some people might be excited by that. Because I don't have to be independent. I can be dependent on someone who knows this much better than I do. I'm not saying it's wrong to go and be taught and to learn how to do things really well. But we have to recognise where we end and where we need God. And not try and fill the gap. Because all we do is end up hurting. We end up causing more damage. The mission or the vision statement of our church is to be in Vineyard is to be a people captivated by Jesus and abandoned to his mission. And I love it that it's that way round. Because I think if I was to leave you with anything this morning, is to become captivated by Jesus again. Be captivated by this man who changed the world, who turned it on his head, who exemplified a kingdom which is upside down and backwards and looks really strange, but it's so powerful and so restorative. And it's what this world needs. So we live in this world where there's a veneer of success, a veneer of people feeling like they live fulfilled and complete lives. I think it's increasingly true of this society of Midsummer Norton as wealth and job security and all those sort of things and family life increase, people feel they need to show this veneer. Health, wealth, and prosperity. Look at us, we've got it sorted. We've got the job, we've got the house, we've got the family, got the car. We've especially got the car. My jokes are going badly this morning. But to me, that just disguises. To be individually independent and successful glosses over the most incredible brokenness, deprivation, and poverty. We live in the most affluent societies in the world, and yet it's the most poor. And so you, who have all the wealth, need to spread it out. That's a bit blatant, isn't it? It's like, I'm not listening to that one, definitely put a square around that. That's outside. But we have to take Jesus into the darkness of this broken society. Do you know what? There's so many people out there who would be relieved if you say you don't have to have it all together. You don't have to reach a standard to have a relationship with Jesus. And in fact, it probably helps if you've got no standards. When I was preparing for this, or thinking about this morning, I'd already prepared. I had a picture come into my head of a woman, and she had a beautiful piece of cloth. It was silk-like. And she was spreading it on the floor so that people could walk on it and that they would have a really nice feeling under their feet. But as they walked past, they were scuffing it up and they were making it look dirty. And she was getting really annoyed because she kept having to straighten it out again. And the voice of God came to her and said, it's not for going on the floor, it's for wearing around your neck. That's a really strange picture, isn't it? And I think maybe what God's trying to say to us, and I'll allow you to weigh it up, is that we're taking the beautiful things of God and using it in just the wrong way and getting frustrated by other people misusing it. And God's maybe beginning to whisper in our ear that he wants us to change the way that we're using the things he's given us. I'll leave you with a little final word. Oh, it's already up. Look at that. How about that? Everything of contemporary society, all the best things are bettered by Jesus. The church is at its heart about the betterment of the world because it carries the heart of Jesus. That's a quote by a profound philosopher, Rob Addicott. But it's what I believe. And I want us to take away from today, if nothing else, how can I renew my mind? How can I expand my worldview so that I can bring light, healing, restoration to a world which is dark, injured, and broken.